Friends, I want to start off by saying I'm sorry that we weren't able to get messages out to you this past year on a timely basis. We want this and are endeavoring for this message to be the message of the month, but we have had problem after problem after problem with our duplicator, and for the last few months I've been begging and pleading, if you will, with the company that we bought the system from, and finally, through much prayer and through supplication, we wound up being able to buy a new system at a reduced rate. And so, praise God, we're back with you, and we will endeavor to keep up with these messages each month that we're able to do that. And I want to ask your permission if I can preach to you with a cold, so it may not sound totally like my normal voice, but please forgive me, and we just had a burden to get this message out, and as we go along, I think you'll understand a little more as to why that is. But friends, I want to ask you specifically, how is your walk with the Lord of your salvation? Are you growing? Are you praying? Are you studying? Are you standing through the trials and tests that might be assailing you right now? I hope and pray you are, friend. As you know, if you've been receiving our messages for a while, the Lord moved upon my heart to share some messages that dealt with trials and tribulations that come upon us. They were entitled, God Doesn't Waste Our Pain, Part 1 and Part 2. We discovered that they are sometimes allowed, these trials, to come in and to correct us. Sometimes they're allowed to come and to prepare us for some special service. And sometimes they're allowed to come to us so we can be a steadfast Christian example of faith in God. And of course, the trials are always allowed to come to us to bring us ever closer with our loving Creator. And God has given me the wonderful opportunity and responsibility to share some of our personal trials with you. And looking back at them with spiritual eye salve, we are able to understand why the trial was permitted in our life. I'm sure that you can do the same or have done the same thing in your life. After the trial, you can look back and you can see the why most times, not always, but most of the time we can. It's not so easy to see the why when we're experiencing the trial. Our faith can become challenged when we are in the middle of the trial and we don't see why God has allowed it to happen or transpire as it has. This is when the devil comes in like a flood. He wants us to turn our back on God. He wants us to be filled with doubt, fear, frustration, even anger. He wants us to sin during and because of the trial. God wants us to stand successfully through the trial and remain surrendered to His capable hands. The trials that we each go through are measured for us individually by God and allowed to come our way. The trial that each one of us are in is a very real trial for each one of us individually. Some trials are huge and some are small. And it seems healthy to me to garner strength from someone that is faithfully going through maybe a greater trial than ours and be inspired to do the same. Amen? But we must be careful not to let the fact that you might be going through a bigger trial discourage you. I've discovered that the size of the trial that God allows us to go through is proportionate to the faith that has already been developed in our Christian walk. About a month ago, a very personal trial came to me when an ear, nose, and throat doctor found a tumor in my middle ear extending deep inside to my inner ear. No doubt a sickening reality and an interesting challenge for a singer. It's a cholesteatoma, a benign tumor that has done great damage in my right ear. I currently have almost no hearing in my right ear now. The tumor has eroded much of the bony labyrinth in there and has affected my balance center. I'm experiencing dizzy spells and periodic disruptions in my taste buds, which indicates facial nerve involvement, unfortunately. A cholesteatoma is a nasty thing that creates an enzyme, and that enzyme dissolves bone, including skull bone. It has already eroded the ossicles, my hearing bones, and it is potentially life-threatening. After a CAT scan, we now know that it is a very serious condition with me. The doctor said on a scale of 1 to 10, replacing your eardrum would be a 1, which I need to have. A 10 would be life-threatening cranial involvement where the thin bone between the inner ear and the brain has been dissolved. The specialist that the Lord led me to, and we'll get to that in just a little bit, he said, quote, "Christian, you are a 9, ready to burst into a 10. It's as bad as it could be without your brain being involved." Friends, I honestly thought that the doctor was going to say, "Don't worry about it. It's not that bad. You'll be just fine." I didn't think that my condition was going to be worse than, say, a 3 or a 4. So this message is coming to you as we are in the middle of the trial. I can't look back and learn my lesson from it and tell you why this trial was allowed to come to me. My surgery is coming up, and we don't know what the side effects will be. We know the recovery time will be extensive. We know that I've had this problem for years, and the little diabolical enzymes have had plenty of time to wreak their havoc. The side effects could be as bad as death, which, hold on, praise God, according to the doctor, on my CAT scan it appears as though my brain is not involved at this point. Praise the Lord. Or my side effect could be as little as some hearing loss. I could lose my hearing, my face could be paralyzed, I could have vertigo, permanent debilitating dizziness, I could lose my sense of taste, infection could spread to the brain causing meningitis, a brain abscess could result, I could have a tic disorder, and the list continues. Right now, as I record this message for you, we have no idea what will happen to me. None. And maybe you're in the same situation. You don't know what's on the other side of the trial. But friends, we must believe, if we are Christians, and we have faith in God, that we are in the Lord's hands, even though we don't know what He wants for us on the other side of the trial. We don't know how He's going to be most glorified. In my case, would He be most glorified by a total healing? I don't know. I hope for that. Would He be most glorified by deafness and paralyzation? Or would He be more glorified by my death? Friends, I honestly don't know. This is where, as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, that Christians must walk by faith and not by sight. So the question is, am I going to practice what I preach? Am I going to hold on to God, trusting that He will help us through this time of uncertainty? Am I going to choose to fall into a pit of depression and self-pity? I could. Oh, how the devil loves to hear us talking words of discouragement. Am I going to get mad at God for letting this happen to me? No. My family and I have chosen to stand firm upon the promises of God. He will see us through, friends. Whatever may come, He will not fail us nor forsake us. So, interestingly enough, the Lord impresses my heart to share with you what we're actually going through while we're going through it. And I'm convinced that one of the reasons for God not healing me already through much prayer, through countless natural remedies, and through an anointing is because He wants to build my faith more, friends. He wants to build my family's faith, and I believe that He wants to build your faith too, my dear friend. God's moral purposing is not always readily apparent at first. And there are times when we might even go to our graves not understanding why something happened. We must conclude then, friends, that we don't have all of the facts and that God worked out some greater purpose. He loves you and He loves me and He wants to help us both through our trials. He wants us to see His working hand in our lives, and we give Him credit for it. He wants us to see that He's not indifferent to our sufferings, and that He is a very present helper in times of trouble. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge. God is our strength, and a very present help in trouble," friends. We need to come to Him, Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Tell him about your situation, friends. Go to him and say, Lord, here's what's happening. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Psalm 120:1. Ask him to help us surrender our problem to him, just like Jesus. In Luke 22:42, Jesus prays, Lord, if thou be willing, Father, please, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It has to be the same for us, friends. And then ask God to supply the strength to stand through the trial. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all, not some, all of your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So, this tumor, whatever there is on the other side, God has promised he's going to help me be able to bear it. So then I must go to him. I must trust that he will work it out according to his good pleasure. Romans 8:28. And we all know that all things, how many? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Are you called according to his purpose, friends? I know you are. So we must go to him and say, Lord, you've promised that you'll help me bear it. You said that all things will work together, and if I have to be smitten so that someone else can see the kingdom, so be it. And then we must go to him and ask for patience, peace, and spiritual eye salve to see his hand of providence work on our behalf. You know, God works for us in so many different ways, and we don't pray for spiritual eye salve to see his workings. He says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It doesn't say I might. It says I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, Christian. Neither let it be afraid. Then we need to praise God that he has chosen us to be another instrument, another example in the hand of God to defeat the kingdom of darkness by proving that there is faith to be found upon the earth. James 1:2-4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Friends, I must confess, in these types of struggles, it's not natural for me to have patience. Can you relate? You remember what patience means, right? Hupomene. It means steadfastness, consistency, endurance. It's a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Job had hupomene. Job had steadfastness and consistency and endurance. Jesus had hupomene. Are you and I embracing patience? Are we embracing hupomene? The dictionary states, quote, patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. In other words, patience is the capacity that only God can give to us, friends, to help us accept and tolerate delays in getting the answers or the results that we want. To accept and tolerate the troubles or the sufferings that have been allowed to come upon us without us getting angry or upset. In other words, losing our Christian witness and connection. Hupomene, I have to confess to you, does not naturally come to me. Patience does not naturally come. I must ask God for it every morning. Because I want to know right now what's going to happen. It's hard to have to wait to get in to see the doctors. It's hard to have to wait for my surgery date to arrive when I want this thing out of my head. It's hard to wait and see what my lot in life will be after I wake up in the recovery room. It's all the unknowns that make it so hard, isn't it? This is where our faith must latch on to Jesus Christ. We don't know the future, friends, but praise God that he does, amen? That nothing ever catches him off guard. By putting our faith, our trust in Him, we ally ourselves with the only source that knows the future. Therefore, we have nothing to fear because God is there, and there's nothing that's unknown to God. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He doesn't just send us on our way. He goes with us. He will not fail us, nor forsake us. My family and I, we don't understand why God hasn't healed me through a miracle or by other means over the last number of years, but He's chosen not to. And through that, we have had moments of deep struggle. Like Lot, he had many times of great struggles during his great trial, a trial that was way beyond what I'm currently enduring, friends. But he stood. Yes, he struggled. Yes, we're struggling. But he stood knowing that the God in whom he had trusted so long would not fail him. In and of ourselves, friends, we don't naturally have the, quote, capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting upset or whining. But we must believe that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Amen? Psalm 56:3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. While I don't want any of the bad side effects that would come after surgery, I'll accept them if God can be glorified through them. I will spend, and I will be spent for the gospel's sake. What say you? Amen? Have you come to this place in your walk? Are you willing to totally give your life to Christ? Are you willing to spend and be spent for Him who did spend and was spent for us? There's a peace, friends. There's a peace and a patience, hupomene, that comes to our souls when we trust and surrender. I'm now at a place where God can do with me what He pleases, for I've given myself to Him, and He can do His good will with me. My body is not my own. Jesus bought it with His blood, and it's now His ear. And if He wants it healed, He'll heal His ear. If He doesn't, He won't. But I do know this, that He always has a greater blessing in mind for us or for someone else when we go through trials and suffering. I don't like the process. It's not a lack of faith to have concerns or to not want to go through a certain trial. Jesus Himself didn't want to go through dying on the cross. He didn't want to, but He would. I don't want to, but I will. Jesus said it Himself in Luke 22:42, a very familiar passage, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And so while I don't want to have to be bothered by this trial, honestly, while I don't want to have to stop working for God for a month to 6 weeks while recovering, while I don't want to have one penny spent on me, I'd rather it go to the gospel. While I don't want my wife and my children and my parents and my friends to have to go through this trial with me, while I'm nervous, yes, about what the outcome might be, while I've prayed that this cup would pass from me, I have said with all of that, Father in heaven, I love You. I trust You. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Have you given your trial over to the Lord in faith? Or are you still trying to figure out why this is happening to you? And you're not moving past the whining and complaining? Are you standing by faith during your trial, or have you given up in despair? Do you think it's unfair that you have to go through this right now? Friends, hear the word of the Lord. 1 Peter 4:12-13 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Don't think it strange that we're going through what we're going through, friends. We have to rejoice, remembering it's only temporary. And when Jesus comes back for us, our joy will know no end. For I am persuaded, dear friends, that neither death nor life, Romans 8:38, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, tumors and all, nor things to come, whatever it might be, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Christian, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you, Christian. Yea, I will help you, Christian. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. My grace, 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, my dear son. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Surrender. Most gladly I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure. Listen to this. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, sickness, in reproaches, people rising up against me, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for whose sake? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, when I realize that I need God, then I am strong, friends. So whatever the Lord allows to happen to us, come death, come total recovery, or anything in between, we must make up our minds that we will glorify our Father in heaven. What do you say? Are you going to stand for God though the heavens may fall? Are you going to tap into the grace, the power to stand? Are you going to finally surrender it all? Are you going to become weak? And let God strengthen you. Let him work on your behalf. Are you going to cry out to the Lord? Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. He's with you, friend. Whithersoever you goest, even into the operating room. Oh, Lord, please. Give us the peace that passes understanding. Be careful for nothing. Philippians 4:6-7. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, by asking, by seeking, by entreating with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You see, it's a spiritual formula again, friends. Not being worried, plus ask, in other words, having faith that God will work things out, and asking God for help with a thankful heart equals the peace of God that passes all of our understanding. That's awesome to me. Friends, I can tell you that these scriptures are absolutely accurate and true and promises you can stand on. I'll share my story. Let's back up to about a month ago. I had a talk with Kobe, my wife, and I told her that I was sure that I had another ear infection, and that I should just go in and have an ENT look at it. You see, my life has been plagued with ear problems. I didn't put it all together until just recently. As a child, anytime I got sick, I had severe earaches. And at 5 years old, around there, I had my right eardrum burst, complete with blood and infection on my pillow. Fast forward now to about 10 years ago. I was being pulled behind my friend's boat on a kneeboard. In a bad accident, I ripped, guess which eardrum? My right eardrum. I found myself in the emergency room, bleeding once again. And then, over the next 7 years, I would seek out doctor after doctor, trying to convince them that something was in my ear. They all said yes, my eardrum had thickened due to damage, and that I had some minimal hearing loss, but they didn't see anything wrong, and so they felt like, you know, it was in my head. No, well, literally, it was in my head. Even though I could feel something in there, and I could hear something moving around and gurgling, they discredited what I was saying. Now, fast forward to just 3 years ago. We were in Minnesota. While we were on the road full-time in our motorhome, out singing and preaching around America, I went scuba diving with a friend in a local lake, only to have my right eardrum give away at 27 feet under the water. The pain became intense, and I again found myself in the office of an ENT. He began to vacuum on the surface of my ear and clean out my ear canal, and he said that he didn't see a hole. I told him I knew there was because I could blow junk out of my ear. He continued to vacuum, and he did hit the hole, and began to suction out so much infection and junk that he finally gave up in frustration after clogging 7 vacuum tips. I began to experience vertigo, a terrible motion sickness, which had lasted a full week up until my next appointment with him. He told me that I had a chronic infection, and that all of this infection did not happen as a result of yesterday. So I went back after a terrible week of dizziness, and he cleaned it out more, and praise God, the vertigo left. I could actually walk by myself again. He then told me that I had a cholesteatoma and a torn eardrum, that I should have it looked at when we got back to California in a few months. He simply explained that I had a buildup in my ear that was caused by my damaged eardrum. You see, God created us so that all of the junk from the inside of the ear passes through the eardrum on this little vehicle called wax and takes all the dead cells and all the junk out with it. Well, because of the thickened drum, this stuff wasn't passing through but building up inside. But he didn't indicate that it was a major problem. He said that my eardrum being fixed was of more importance. So for the last 3 years, I have protected my ear from all water and hope that someday we'd have the money to have it fixed. This brings us to about a month ago. As I mentioned, I told Kobe that I was sure I had an infection in my right ear again, and that I was going to go see an ENT just to see, is there anything that we could do and maybe be able to afford this. I wanted to get my eardrum fixed because I wanted to go play with my boys in the water this summer. It was as simple as that. And I had noticed that my hearing went from not so great to pretty bad in a few short weeks, so I knew something was wrong. I went in, and he began to vacuum, but there was something, like a scab-type thing, on the surface of my eardrum that he couldn't remove. It was very painful, so he sent me home with some antibiotics to soften the scab and to start fighting the infection that was obviously seen on the other side of my eardrum. He told me that he would see me in 4 weeks. I left thinking that 4 weeks was a long time to soften a scab. Within 4 days, I knew it was softened because I could blow air out of my ear again. I had an urgency, friends, that was within inside me. I believe it came from the Lord, which I couldn't totally explain. I had been through all of this stuff before, but this time I knew something was different. So I rescheduled my appointment for the next day. And he was a little irritated to see me so soon, but he still saw me and began to suction out a bunch of junk out of my head. I had the vertigo return instantly, and I was sick. And he kept at it, literally, until the tears were running down my face, and I finally told him, just wait a minute. And so he stopped, and he sat down and said, yes, you are right. You have a hole in your eardrum, but this is not my concern. You have what's called a cholesteatoma. At that very moment, I remembered that the doctor in Minnesota had told me the same thing. That doctor was not so concerned. This one was. In fact, this one was irritated that I had not told him this information before. He said that this was a very serious situation and that I would need third-party help to pay for this and I shouldn't mess around for it and it's going to be very expensive. So he scheduled me for 2 weeks out and he said, we need to move quickly, Christian. But we need to let the swelling go down from the infection before I order a CAT scan. Christian, I remember these words echoing my ears. He looked me straight in the eye, and he said, Christian, this is serious. You don't want to mess around with this one. Literally, these words echoed in my ears as I drove home. It took me about a half an hour to get there, and I don't even remember the drive home. I was just like in autopilot. I came home to an empty house since Kobe was out running errands, and I called my mother and told her the news. I have a tumor in my ear, and it's dangerous. She was taken back, and we prayed together, and I hung up with her, asking her to have Kobe call me when she got to her house. I dropped to my knees, friends, and I began to pour out my heart. Oh, God! I mean, all I could think of was Psalm 34, the righteous cry. And I began to weep, and the Lord heareth, and he delivereth them out of all of their troubles. Father, I'm having troubles here. Something's come upon me. Heal me, O Lord. Heal me, Jeremiah 17:14, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. I poured out my heart to my Father, and I began to do some research on the internet, and I began to discover just how serious of a disorder this was. I read story after story and case after case, and it hit me that I was potentially in for some serious problems. And I just sat there, just in amazement and fighting back the tears, as the weight of my future was uncertain. I don't understand, Lord. The fog that I was in was pierced only by the ringing phone, and it was my dear wife. My mother had not told her, and as soon as I heard my helpmeet's voice, I couldn't speak, friends. There was a knot in my throat. She says, "Honey, are you there?" I couldn't even talk. She asked, "Are you there, Christian?" I tried to compose myself so she wouldn't hear my tears, but it didn't work, and through my broken speech, I told her that the doctor had found a tumor. She said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, I got a tumor in my head, and it's dangerous." And so I told her some of the information that I had found on the internet, and she came straight home, and we had a time of prayer and holding one another. We didn't speak much. We just sat with each other, just shaking our heads in disbelief. Friends, I know you've been there too. It's hard when bad news comes, isn't it? It's hard because we don't understand. But I want to encourage you, friend, hold on to God, knowing that times of trial will come, but God will strengthen us. Be of good courage, my friend. He will strengthen your heart. All that ye hope in the Lord. Do you hope in the Lord? Do you have faith in God? Then he's going to strengthen your heart and you're going to make it through this problem. Signs of the Times, August 18th, 1909. The furnace fires are not to destroy, but to refine, to ennoble. The trials are to refine us, ennoble us, and sanctify us, to make us more holy. In the trials that come to us, we should see the evidences that the Lord's eye is upon us and that he means to draw us to himself. The fact that we are called upon to endure trial proves that the Lord sees something in us very precious which he desires to develop. If he saw in us nothing whereby he might glorify his name, he would not spend time in refining us. When trials arise that seem unexplainable, we should not allow our peace to be spoiled. Who wants to do that? Our old self, right? Other people around us, or the devil? We should not allow our peace to be spoiled when trials arise that seem to be unexplainable. However unjustly we may be treated, let not passion arise. By indulging a spirit of retaliation, we injure ourselves. We destroy our own confidence in God, and we grieve the Holy Spirit. There is by our side, friends, a witness, a heavenly messenger who will lift us up for a standard against the enemy. Do you get it? He's going to lift us up through the trial and we will be a standard against the enemy. He will shut us in with the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. Beyond this, Satan cannot penetrate. He cannot pass the shield of holy light. Still reading on, the great apostle Paul was a man who knew what it meant to be a partaker of Christ's sufferings. Quote, "His life was one of constant activity, notwithstanding he was subject to many infirmities. He was constantly followed by the hatred and malice of the Jews. They were exceedingly bitter against him and did all in their power to hinder him in his work. Yet we hear his voice sounding down along the line to our time," quote, "our light affliction, which is but for a moment," and Paul went through it, friends, "worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen, they are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." He says, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to us." None too highly does Paul estimate the privileges and the advantages of the Christian life, my friends. Are you tapping in to the privileges and the advantages of the Christian life? Are we going to stand through the trial while we let that heavenly messenger lift us up for a standard against the enemy? That's awesome to me, friends. Let's do it. Let's go all the way with the Lord. Let's trust God completely. Amen. The next morning, listen to this. The next morning, while nobody but my wife, my mother, and doctor knew what was going on with us, Kobe answered the ministry phone line, and a lady named Mrs. K called to order some more of the Vision of Heaven programs to give away to others as gifts. She explained that she had been very blessed by the CD herself, and she let Kobe know that it had helped her and it encouraged her to go through her darkest hour. She was told by her doctor to go home, get your affairs in order. You're not expected to live through this surgery. She says, I had a cholesteatoma. Yeah. Kobe was literally weak in the knees, and she sat down. This dear caller thought that by Kobe's silence, she wasn't sure what the disease was, so she continued on with this terrible, life-threatening story and told Kobe about the horrible recovery time that she had had, and so on and so forth, and finally Kobe interrupted her and said, Christian was just diagnosed with a cholesteatoma yesterday. A worried, oh no, I'm so sorry. No, Kobe. Yes, he was. He needs to see my doctor. He saved my life. He's sought after by people all over this country that fly in to see him and from Canada. He needs to go see my doctor. My doctor's name is Dr. Kevin McKinnon in Sacramento. Here's his phone number. And after more details and Kobe's hundreds of questions and prayer together, they hung up. Friends, don't tell me that this took God by surprise. This just didn't happen. The day after I find out what I have, that a lady just happens to call who had the same problem that I have, she was blessed by our ministry prior, so she just happens to call on this day to order more and tell Kobe about her, quote, darkest hour? Coincidence? No way, friends. Providence. The providential hand of God, amen? God had already begun to work for us. Upward Look, page 46 says, our God is a very present help in time of need. He is acquainted with the most secret thoughts of our heart, with all the intents and purposes of our souls. When we are in perplexity, we were in perplexity, friends. Even before we open to Him our distresses, He is making arrangements for our deliverance. He's making arrangements for our deliverance. And God had already begun to do that, you see? It wasn't coincidence. It was my Father in heaven working for me. Amen? Amen. So we called. We called to set an appointment with Dr. Kevin McKinnon. The earliest appointment was more than a month away, and I called every day asking if they had a cancellation. Finally, there was a cancellation, and we would now get in 2 weeks earlier. I went back for my two-week checkup with my other ENT to see if I was ready for the CAT scan. He did several tests in his office, and he told me that when I had all my money collected, to call him. I did not feel comfortable with this, and he would get me in for surgery. And that when we got into surgery, that we would just get in there. You know, they're going to cut off the back of my ear and fold it over on my cheek. We're just going to get in there, Christian, and see what we have. I said, well, what about the CAT scan? No, we'll just get in there, see what we got, and you know what? We'll save you some money by not doing the scan. I'm sorry, friends. I'm not looking for the bargain basement pricing when it's dealing with my hearing. Can you say amen? So we paid our inflated bill, and we left there convinced that God had already made arrangements with the right doctor in Sacramento. Amen? So, the next week, while we were waiting to get in to see our doctor, get this. My mother calls and tells me about her choir practice the night before. She relays to me how before their practice they were praying for me. Now, their church knows me. I've been in their church singing and preaching, and they were praying for me and my ear. That night, a choir member that had not been in the choir for approximately 8 months shows up. That night, he heard the prayer request and pulled my mom aside and said, what's going on with Christian? This particularly interested him since he was a retired ENT. It's not coincidence, my friends. And as my mother explained to him what was going on, he says, say no more. The man he needs to see is Dr. Kevin McKinnon in Sacramento. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We had our confirmation. Do you see it? God was at work, and he was moving upon men and women to provide Kobe and my little children and my friends who were praying for me to provide us evidence that he was indeed alive and well, and he knew about our plight, and that he was with us, and that he would not fail us, and that he would not forsake us. In fact, to build on this, when I called Dr. McKinnon's office, I got a hold of a lady who in registration, and I let it be known that I need a very good doctor. I heard Dr. McKinnon was wonderful, incredible, the best around. She said he is. I said to her, I don't just need the tumor removed. I need my hearing preserved. I'm a Christian singer. She goes, you are? Well, praise God. Yes, he's the best, and you'll be in good hands. And I said, are you my sister? She said, you know I am. I said, well, praise God. It's good to have God's people on the inside. And she started to laugh. And she said, Christian, I like you. She goes, I'm going to write your name and your information on a post-it note and stick it on my monitor. We don't have a cancellation list. We're far too busy. And everyone here is very sought after, especially Dr. McKinnon. But you know what I'm going to do for you, brother? I'm going to call you if I see a cancellation. In fact, I'll check for you every day. Call me every day and let's see if we can get you in sooner. Friends, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And when we can get to the place of accepting the fact that there will be trials and that God will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able to handle, then we can begin to realize this promise found in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you want to have a sound mind through the trial you're going through? If we can truly embrace the reality that everything that comes to us is actually coming from the hand of Jesus to us, then we can have a sound mind. Then we can have renewed courage to rise above the problems and look at them as opportunities to carry out God's bigger purpose. You say, everything that comes to me doesn't come from Jesus. Wait a minute. Let me read a very powerful quote taken from Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 71. The Father's presence encircled Christ, and nothing befell him but that which infinite love permitted for the blessing of the world. So you see, nothing came to Jesus. Nothing came to him without God allowing it, without God permitting it. Here was Jesus' source of comfort, and it is for us. He who is imbued with the Spirit of Christ abides in Christ. The blow that is aimed at him, the believing Christian, falls upon the Savior who surrounds the believer with his presence. Whatever comes to him from Christ. I didn't say it. So whatever comes to me in my life, yes, my tumor actually was allowed to come from Christ because Christ saw it. He met it, and he allowed it to come to me. A lot of Christians don't like to think about that, but it's the reality. Nothing can touch him, not Jesus. Nothing can touch him, the believer, except by our Lord's permission, and all things that are permitted work together for good to them that love God. Did you catch that? Nothing befell Jesus Christ but that which infinite love permitted for the blessing of the world. You see, yes, God allowed his son to be spit upon. Yes, God allowed his son to be whipped, lacerating his back. Yes, God allowed Jesus' tender hands to be nailed to the cross. Yes, God allowed him to die. Why? Because he's a cruel and hateful God? No, he allowed the trials in his own son's life for the blessing of the world. He had a bigger picture going on. And you and I, we may not be called to suffer to be a blessing for the whole world, but you can rest assured, if we're Christians tapped into Jesus Christ, that we most likely will be called to suffer for those that are right around us. Does that make sense? There's a bigger picture here, friends. Are you willing to spend and be spent for the gospel's sake? Since Jesus lived his life, knowing this fact, he was able to accept whatever came to him and to stand through it without murmur or complaint. Because he had hupomene, friends, he had patience, he had a steadfast faith, knowing that his Father in heaven would not allow one extra trial, one extra thing to come to him that was needless. Jesus had hupomene completely. This is how he stood in the court before Pilate. It was looking at it as this was coming from his Father. That's amazing to me. And yet when he was wrongly accused, he opened not his mouth. This is how he endured the crown of thorns being repeatedly smote with reeds upon his noble head, driving those thorns in, and yet he didn't retaliate. He had the, quote, capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. He had the power to stand, and that power came directly from God. And we, too, can have the same power to stand with great hupomene, great patience, a steadfastness, a settling into the truth. Reading on, nothing can touch him, us, the believing Christian, except by our Lord's permission. And all things that are permitted work together for good to them that love God. Whatever comes to us comes from Christ. Nothing can touch us, friends, except by our Lord's permission. So what has the Lord brought to you? What has he allowed to come to you? Right now, he's allowed this tumor in my head. So I have a choice, just like you do. I can become bitter, upset. I could be a grump. I could get depressed. I could whine and complain. I can do whatever I want to do. You see, I have a free will, after all. I can be as unbearable as I want to be. I could continually ask God, why me? Why are we going through this, Lord? I serve you and I love you and this happens to me. I could go on and on and on. Or we can choose to be like Jesus and many of his followers after him, and we can choose to embrace the power of God. We can choose to embrace hupomene, to learn to develop that patience, so someday soon we might even sing out with hymns while we're being burned at the stake, friends, like many martyrs before us. We can choose to recognize that upon no worthless material God wastes any effort. We can rejoice and be encouraged that we are worth working on. Amen? Most likely we are not going to enjoy the trial, but we can thank God that he has allowed it, and it's our privilege to connect to him by faith, knowing that he has some greater purpose to accomplish in us or in those around us. When we become a Christian, friends, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Isaiah 61:1-3 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Jesus Christ is coming soon, friends, and your mourning shall be comforted. "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Will you, dear friend, be planted by the Lord? Will you be a steadfast tree that will stand strong through the storm of life and stand strong through the trials that you are now facing? We, the Birdall family, have decided to stand strong on the promises of God. When I am weak, then I am strong. We're going to go forward, expecting great things from this trial. We don't know how it's all going to work. We don't know what God will allow to come to us. But we know that if we stay connected to him, that all things will work out for good. All things will work out for good for you, friend. Stay connected to Jesus. If you will, please pray that my surgery goes well. And through all of this, more importantly, that our loving, long-suffering Father in heaven will be correctly reflected in us to all of those within our sphere of influence. We'll pray the same for you and the trials you're going through, and that you will rightly represent Jesus in your sphere of influence. As for me and my house, friends, we will serve the Lord, because we believe that our light affliction, which is for but a moment, worketh for us a far more, an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hold on, my dear friend. God loves you. Let your heart, let your mind be at rest like a tired child in the arms of its mother. God's everlasting arms are beneath you in all your afflictions. Jesus is afflicted with you. Stay in prayer, my friends, for it is a necessity. It is the life of the soul.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. And make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. And try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold on, my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit, till all shall see Christ on the altar.
Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you would help us to connect with you in a way that just pushes the devil aside. I pray that you would help us to stand through these trials, Lord. We don't know what's coming on the other side of them, but we want to trust you. Please, Father, we believe, help my unbelief. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen us, you would buoy us up. You've promised that you will hold us in the right hand of your righteousness, that you will help us to be a strong tree planted. Please, Father, let not our faith be removed or diminished because of this trial, but rather to be steadfast. Help us to be hupomene. Father, we love you, and we want to worship you, and we want to be held in your hands as a standard against the enemy. We want to glorify you. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.